Most 99.9% of the information you get about Africa is wrong.
Political firebrand, musical innovator, Nigerian folk hero, rebel, global icon, Fela Kuti was a figure eminently of his time and also someone who was entirely ahead of his time. His time in the U.S. profoundly influenced his musical sensibility and inspired him to begin the experimentation that would eventually lead to the creation of Afrobeat. The story of Fela Kuti's journey as a creative and ideological leader is the subject of director Alex Gibney's new documentary, Finding Fela, which opens in selected theaters across the country in August. Femi Kuti, world-renowned and Grammy-nominated musician and son of Fela Kuti, sat down with me to talk about his father's life and legacy.
He had a lot of influence from his mother coming to America, meeting the Black Panthers, reading books on African history, going back to Nigeria and not understanding why African leaders were not doing enough to promote putting good infrastructures in place and why the leaders were so corrupt. And he tried to use his music to fight against this.
When you are a revolutionary and you talk the truth, people will come and slap you down. Then you talk the truth again, they lock you in jail. Then when you are very strong and you talk again, they may kill you. They may even burn your house down, like they burnt my house down at home. Now, they come and tell you not to say the truth again. Then I tell them and say, they will hear more until they can hear no more, because the truth can never die.
And so that a Fela Kuti concert, Femi Kuti, was part political polemic, all music, of course, and then a mixture of the two.
The political part was very essential in the music all the time. He couldn't understand the love songs in Africa with so much poverty and suffering. Right now, as we speak, the doctors in Nigeria are on strike. So many poor people are dying. What love song is more important than talking about this issue? You talk about the terrorists attacking Nigeria, the missing girls. The kind of upbringing my father had, which he gave me, is he put the suffering of people before his personal matters, so to say.
Fela Kuti had a club, of course, in Lagos. He called it The Shrine.
Correct? Yes.
Where I learned that every night was a different night. Of course, ladies' night was Tuesday.
Yeah,
naturally.
Oh, you've done a lot of research, yes. Tuesday, Friday night was the Yabis night, which was he used Friday to kind of abuse the government.
Well, let's hear a little bit about what Yabis night, Friday nights, was like at the Shrine.
What is happening in Nigerian prisons is nothing short of Nazism. I saw it with my eyes. They were flogging boys, 8 in the morning, 24 strokes. They put sand on the body before they flogged them. And this is not from court order. This is just warders' enjoyment.
Was there a worry for his survival? He was highly critical,
yes,
of powerful people. He called them out individually.
Yes.
He called them names. People who don't mess around and people who have a lot to lose.
Yes.
Revolutionary, yes, brave, maybe, but also stupid.
I don't know if he personally feared for his life, but he never showed that to anybody. But definitely everybody around him, including his kids, us, my mother, we were always afraid that he would get killed. And everybody spoke to him, but he always shrugged it off his shoulder, said that's not going to stop him from speaking the truth. Probably he had a death wish as well, because he did things that we never understood why. He always provoked the authorities. I mean, like calling their names. Everybody knew if you called their names, they were going to come and retaliate.
So he was an angry person, though. He was angry about the death of his mother.
I don't think he was angry. It's not. I don't know if you can call it anger. It is more of probably upset. Nigeria had money. Why weren't they not giving Africa good education? Why were they not building good roads, healthcare service? What he was talking about then in the 70s, Nigeria is still facing critical issues on these topics. So I think he was just crying out loud all the time, saying, we need to get things straight.
There's plenty to talk about with politics and with revolution with Fela Kuti. But while you're here, we have to talk a little bit about music, or else we will have missed an opportunity. Many Americans will not have heard of high life music, but when they hear it, they say, oh yeah, that sounds familiar, because it has influenced so many things that we hear here in the United States. Can you describe a little bit about what high life music was, how it interacted with American funk? People know James Brown, and Fela's music and James Brown have something in common.
High life music, I think, is really from the Caribbean somewhere. I'm not very sure, but the Ghanaians were the ones like in the forefront in Africa playing high life music. And my father loved the way the Ghanaians played high life music. His mother called him and told him if he wanted to be successful as a musician, he had to form his own kind of music. And this was how the Afrobeat started. And James Brown was very big. And I think my father just saw James Brown as, should I use the word oppressive? Oppressive in the sense that, not negatively, that it was, he had to come up with something better than James Brown.
Oppressive creatively, in other words, artistically.
Yes, this was the challenge of the beginning of his career. He had to come up with something his people would love him for, and this was the Afrobeat.
I'd like to talk a bit, if I can, about your father's death, if I may.
Yes, of course.
From AIDS, like so many tens of millions. He was a person in life who denied that HIV could cause AIDS or that AIDS was dangerous. And I wonder what you feel that came from. Was it a sense of arrogance? Was it a sense of personal power that he couldn't be conquered?
You have to understand the effect of colonialism on people like my father. If Europe talks about AIDS or AIDS is killing Africa, people like him will have to fight back. And there was not enough proof at this time of my father's era that AIDS was caused by sex. And I think the way AIDS was marketed, the propaganda against AIDS started, was not well put together by the UN. Because even when my father's brother was warning my father, I remember this story very clearly, that there is AIDS. My father said, show me one AIDS patient. So they always had this argument.
What do you think his political legacy has been? Was he able, through his music and through his club and through his preachments from the stage, to affect the politics or the social situation of Nigeria in a positive way? Did people really learn from him?
Definitely. If Nigerians are outspoken today, this is because of my father. Because you have to remember, throughout the 70s and part of the 80s, everybody was too afraid to talk. You never had any human rights activists talking. And today, the youth speak openly now. They are very critical of the governments in Nigeria or Africa. But this is due to my father giving them this voice, this power of have no fear.
The film is Finding Fela, a two-hour documentary on the life, the music, the revolution, the work, and the faults of Fela Kuti. Femi Kuti, his son, musician in his own right, four-time Grammy-nominated musician, joins me here in studio. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Good to be here with you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.